You will. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're dealing with this miracle, a miracle of grace. And of course, if Jesus ever performs a miracle on you physically and spiritually, it'll be a miracle of grace. And because He is the fullness of grace. We've noticed in this text how it starts off being absent of grace or destitute of grace. And I'll tell you, if you begin to analyze your situation, it'll always be graceless unless you allow Jesus to step into it. And then that will turn it around. We notice that there are delusions of grace. There are some things you could get caught up in that would be pretty good, but it would fall short of Christ. And grace only comes packaged in Christ. And anything else is a delusion. And even as we were talking with Brother Jason, even if this man had made it to the water, there would have been the danger and probably not even as low as a possibility, it would have happened that something worse would have happened to him. He'd have been back in that same place, but worse off. Because Jesus told him, lest a worse thing come unto thee, because that pool wouldn't have settled that inner heart and that need. So whatever it was in his life that created that situation would have gotten worse. But we noticed also that there is the delight of grace. Isn't it amazing how the Lord is able to take your lowest ebb and make it your highest peak? Right. And that's what we've been doing this week. We've been rejoicing over our lowest times. Right. We've been rejoicing over our darkest times that has become our brightest times. Our joy has come in the morning, in spite of the sorrow that was in the night. So there is a delight in grace, in spite of what grace delivered us from. And then last night we noticed the design of grace. How that grace is just not a band-aid that you take and put on anybody anywhere. But grace will only work on certain situations and certain people and certain circumstances. In other words, if you're not desperate, then grace is not for you. You won't want grace, really, not the grace of God. And if you're not desirous beyond any other thing, then grace is just not going to work. Somebody would ask the question, well, how come it's not working on everybody? Well, grace is designed to work on those hearts that are desperate and are desirous for God. It will work there. Thank God. But tonight, I want to go a step further. We'll read these same verses, and I want to preach on what I call determined grace. How that grace has a determined factor about it, a determination. In other words, just because grace is gracious does not mean that we can use and abuse it, or that it is weak, the weak link of God's character. And that we can just throw our lives in neutral and just coast, living any way we want to. Because, well, after all, we have grace. That is a weak grace. That is not the grace of God. As a matter of fact, God's grace is just the opposite. It is very strong. God's grace is not given to be dominated. But God's grace is is a sovereign characteristic, as is all of His characteristics in our loves and our lives. God's grace comes in to take over, to rule and to reign. I was thinking about how the Bible said ye are saved by grace. Well, that's a pretty strong substance that can save a dead sinner. That's strong. I thought about what Paul said to, or what God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. It'll cover all the needs. It's not weak. I thought about Hebrews 13, where it said, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace has some strength to it. And then Peter said, but the God of all grace, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Sounds to me like grace is pretty firm, pretty solid. It's not wishy-washy. It's not something that just comes into your life and then just yields to anything and everything that you want to produce in your life. The Bible said, but grow in grace. So grace has this ability, this strength, this substance about it that is very strong. And so I want us to notice how that when grace comes into your life, it comes in with a determined factor. And thank God that it does. Look in verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, John 5. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, kindness, grace, mercy, having 5 porches, a type of grace. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is it that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. I want to emphasize the determinate factor of grace, the very strength of grace. The fact that grace comes in power to operate in our lives. As I look down through this text, I would just simply mention 3 things about this matter of the determined factor of God's grace for your life and for my life. Having us to understand that grace does not come as a ticket to allow you to live and do whatever you want to. Grace comes as a power to help you to live like God wants you to live. The power, the strength, even as is illustrated here where the scripture said he immediately was made whole and took up his bed and walked. That is the strength that is in this saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what I want you to notice with me. Three simple factors about the determined grace of God. First of all, I want you to understand that this grace that Jesus brings to this man is unwilling to deal with some of the emotions and the feelings of the past. Now, contrary to modern day psychology, that seems to always want to dig into your past, to come up with some kind of a reason that you feel like you feel, and then try to offer an explanation or some kind of a reason or cure. Well, my mama spanked me one time. That right there, mark that down. That's I like that. My daddy, he made me spit out my chewing gum. Well, yeah, that probably explains that. And, you know, it can go on endless, and I make it seem simplistic, but we could just dig all into that rotten past, couldn't we? Spend all of our time in that morbid situation of how things evolved in our lives. And 9 times out of 10, it's always going to be somebody else's fault. We're always wanting to point to someone else or to blame someone else. But grace never comes to get into all of that. Grace is just not going to talk. It's not going down that road. Because it realizes that you're not going to get any help going down that road. You say, well, now, preacher, where do you see that? Well, look. Jesus in verse 6 said, when he saw the man lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And notice the impotent man dives into the situation. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled. See, there's a lot could be dealt with that. Jesus could have sat down and said, okay, I understand. Now, you said there wasn't no man. You got any reason why they wouldn't? You mean your mama, your cousins wouldn't come by and help you? What is the problem here? And you're talking about water being troubled. Let's go into that. To put me into the pool, but while I am coming, which it's almost like he's always going, another steppeth down before me. My goodness, that's enough right there to cause the average person to, you know, become so despondent. I'm going to have 21 sessions for this one. I mean, we're going to have to talk this over about no man. I mean, nobody wouldn't help me. And then we're going to have to talk about that man that stepped on me when I was trying to get down there. And we're going to have to talk about all of this stuff. But you can talk about it to doomsday, and it ain't going to help you. You can't bring up all of that ugliness. And boy, they like to do it. Well, what was it? You were abused. What was it your mother said? Who did what? And all of that other stuff. And it may have happened. It may have happened, and you may have been done wrong, there may have been abuse, but I'm going to tell you to let your mind go back there until you have become so bitter that you would like to kill that guy that jumped out in front of you, and then people that didn't show up to help you, and the whole reason why I'm still here is because of them, Jesus. Well, there's a lot to talk about. But notice what Jesus said. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. We're not here to discuss all of those things. We're not here to write prescriptions or whatever for all of those things, and I'm sure we've all got them in our lives. My dad, he didn't know anything about child psychology, child rearing. I mean, he was rough. And to him, time out meant how long you was out on the floor after you knocked him, after he knocked you out. I'm serious. I got up to be a teenager about 13 years old, you know, and you get to where you think maybe you can just sass a little bit. And I never forget, he was sitting probably as far as me to Brother Gerald from me. And he said, son, get out there and do something. I said, Dad, you'll just have to wait. Now, you know them old cigarette ashtrays? Man, that thing weighed, who knows, with the jagged star-like edges on it? Glass? Before I realized what was coming my way, he sailed that thing right by my head. It stuck in the sheetrock. And the thing that scared me was, is I knew he didn't mean to miss me. I mean, he had 9 kids. Losing one ain't gonna hurt nothing. And somebody asked me, said, well, didn't that produce a dysfunctional feeling of bitterness? I said, no, he wasn't partial. He just soon hit one as he would the other. I mean, it didn't matter. And I never had. Didn't have any adverse feelings against him. I just knew whoever was closest was going to get it. You just learn to stay away. But you see, what this world would have us, and what your heart would have you to do, is just sit around and muse and think about every detail, every step, every word, every action, and it's just destructive. It does not help. It's destructive. Driving you insane. But grace doesn't come to deal with the feelings of the past, the animosities of the past, the bitternesses of the past. Grace figures the best way to deal with that is go ahead and save you and raise you up and give you strength to walk, and it's over with. Just go ahead and settle it. And then there are no grievances. You say, hallelujah, I got nothing to complain about. And I say to you, I mean, I was raised in that atmosphere, but I have no ounce of bitterness. I ain't mad at nobody. Somebody come up to me here a while back and said, you know, you look just like your daddy. They knew him. I said, that's ridiculous. He was short and fat and gray-headed. How could that happen? But I'm not even upset at that. Grace is determined not to let you live in the past. To let you just become obsessed with yesterday and to wallow in what has happened is not good for anybody. But I'm going to tell you, if you'd have come 25 years later, he'd have said the same thing that he said in verse 7 if Jesus hadn't said to him what he said in verse 8. The only way to get away from verse 7 is verse 8. And then you're too busy walking to talk about who didn't show up and who didn't do what and all that other stuff. I notice that it's determined as far as the feelings are concerned, not letting us get caught up in what has been. And brothers and sisters, as I cross this country, you'd be amazed at how many of those that claim to have experienced God's grace that are still living in the dark ages of their life. And Jesus, you'd have thought Jesus would have said, "Oh, is that right? Oh, my goodness. I don't understand people like that, do you? It's so sad. What was their names? No. Look at it. Read it again the way it goes. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man that when the water is troubled that will put me in the pool, but while I'm coming down, another steppeth before me." And Jesus saith unto him, let's just go ahead and settle all that. We don't have to ever talk about that again. "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Boy, isn't it good that grace will allow you and lift you above all of that stuff and the feelings about all of that stuff. Well, I guarantee you in verse number 8 and verse number 9, he ain't thinking about that no man no more. He ain't thinking about that first person that stepped on his hand running out in front of him. "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." But the second thing I want you to notice with me is not only is grace determined as far as our feelings, as far as our past is concerned, but I want you to notice how that grace is determined as far as our future is concerned. In other words, grace doesn't come into our lives and settle our past and just say, "Well, hope it turns out okay for you in the future. If not, I'll maybe pass by again." No, grace becomes an intricate part of your life that does determine your future. It is grace that begins to work out those steps that lie before you. Grace is consumed with what is going to happen in the days ahead. Now, notice with me. In verse number 8, Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now, of course, religion gets upset about that. Religion always hates grace, always hates grace. Isn't that amazing? And that's all right if it can get you to do something. Work. Rehabilitate or something like that. But I mean, if it's grace, religion don't want nothing to do with it. But notice on down in verse number 11, after they said, you know, "Who is this guy?" And verse number 8, he answered them, "He that made me whole the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." And they ask him, "What man is this that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" You see, the emphasis of grace is always, it'll always come back to what he said. Because what he said has accomplished what is done, which determines the rest of your life. He is able to walk, but he is walking based upon what Jesus said. So when grace comes, it comes with the firmness of the eternal, settled Word of God. Oh, I'm glad grace gave me the book. And the book has brought grace through Christ. And it has been the firmness and the stability and the surety where I would be tonight had it not been for the Word of God that spoke this healing into my life and has sustained it until this day. Grace has determined by its Word. He's not saying to him, take one step. Arise. Just see if you can get up. Go ahead and try and see if you can get up. This is not a Benny the Hen miracle. No, not by any means. Go ahead. He got a little quiver, but let me pray over him again. Here, I just hold it, hold it. Stand up. Let me see if you can. No, it's with blessed assurance that the Word of God speaks with the authority of the Son of God into this man's heart, and he hears this Word, and thank God through the power and energy of that Word, he can arise. And let me say to you, from that day forward, don't you know he's going to have utmost confidence in God's Word, whatever it is. So what are you doing walking on the Sabbath? He said. He's the one that said. Well, why are you doing what you're doing? Because he said. What are you doing here? He said. Why are you doing that? He said. My whole life is based upon the grace of what he said. And what he keeps saying, it has a firmness about it. Aren't you glad for grace that spoke through his Word? Those settled truths that has sustained you and kept you walking for all these years. That firmness. But notice when he comes to him, I'm talking about his future is determined by the firmness of the Word of God. And then the verse 14, that Word comes to him again. And afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, here's that Word. You think he's listening? I'm going to tell you, if the gospel could do for me what it could do when I was 14 years old, it made me interested in listening to it and to the Word of God intently to this hour. And the reason why folks take the Word of God as a joke and it has no effect in their lives is because they've never had that saving work of the grace of God that showed them the importance of the Word of God. Once His Word delivers you, you're interested in what that Word's got to say. You'll just perk up and say, wow. You think he's interested? You think he's keyed in? You think he's listening? Behold, thou art made whole. And notice how he sets the pace of purity as far as his future is concerned. It's not only a matter of firmness of, as far as the Word of God is concerned, but it's a matter of forgiveness. It is implied that Jesus must have taken care not only of his sickness, but has taken care of his sin. He is now privileged to live in a world in which he has been forgiven of all of those past sins. Brothers and sisters, there's no way that you can keep on living as long as you're living under the load of sin. I don't care what's happened in your life. You may have won $10 million, but it ain't going to lift the load that sin puts on you. You've got to hear a word, not only of firmness, but a word of forgiveness. And that word of forgiveness is what has sustained us through the years. I've always been intrigued by that word forgiveness and what it means. It basically means to send away. And I thought about that, meditated on that, and one day the Lord gave me a sort of good illustration. I was visiting a fella that had a dog. A friendly dog. Much to my displeasure. One that wagged its tail and stuck its tongue out and slobbered. And then wanted to jump up on you. I was visiting this fellow, went to visit him, and, and I had a suit on. I was going to church, just stopped by there. And he stepped out, and I was headed toward, and I saw the lab coming in my direction. He was so happy to see me. I didn't even know him. And he came with my, and he jumped up on me, and he come down. And he jumped up on me, and he come down. But the guy that I was going to see was, I mean, he wasn't cognizant of it. He was over his head. I mean, it's like he didn't even see the dog. Hey, brother, ain't it good to see you? Oh, brother, good to see you. Thought I'd saw come by and talk to you. Oh, yeah. Three or four times that dog jumped on me. And I thought, he's not going to, you know, this dog is not trained. Then finally, he did something that I was so elated. And the dog understood that term, his tone of voice. He told that dog, get out of here! Brothers and sisters, that dog took off. And I said, hallelujah. And this is what Jesus did in forgiveness when it comes to sin. He has said to our sins, you're not going to hold him anymore. I say to you, get out of here. Amen. This man is able to move on in his life without the attachments of his past and the sins that would lie upon him. Why? Jesus has run them off. Sent them away. Boy, you can live your future in the firmness of the Word of God. You can live your future in the forgiveness of the Word of God. Go and notice what he said. Sin no more. Now, I mentioned this the other night. I just mentioned it in passing. You know, a reason why a lot of people would rather have the pool than to have the person is because you can go to the pool and have this miraculous thing happen and not have any issues dealt with. Nobody has to point out anything. You can say it ain't nobody's business. But if you let Jesus deal with the issue, if he's going to deal with the sickness, he's going to deal with the sin. And so he comes to him here in verse number 14, and this grace is going to deal in firmness, it's going to deal in forgiveness, but thank God it's going to deal in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. As Paul said, shall we live in sin because grace is abound? God forbid. Aren't you glad by the grace of God that you have been set free from some things? Now, this is not just a command, but this is a power. This is a given ability. Just like he said to him, which was a command when he said to him, rise and walk. Yes, it was a command, but by God's grace, it was also a power and ability to do so that he did not have within himself. And it was that same power that he's given to him when he says, sin no more. He's giving him that grace, that power of holiness in his life. I had a fellow one time ask me, he said, are you holiness? I said, sure am. He said, you really are? I said, yeah, the Bible said, without it, no man shall see the Lord. You better have some holiness in you. Because, look what he says, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Boy, our futures has to be, with the grace of God, settled firmly on the Word of God. The grace of God brings not only the firmness, the forgiveness, but thank God, the holiness. And aren't you glad God put that in your heart? Now, there's none of us going to stand here and merit and stand up and say, you know what? I hadn't said a cuss word all day long. Do y'all have pens for that? Yeah, I want a pen. I need a pen. And you know what? I hadn't got mad all day long. Do y'all have a pen for that? I'd lose them for lying. I'm kidding. But it's not a matter of merit. It's not a matter that you can do so. We don't preach a message that you can do it. Without Him, we can do nothing. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Him giving us that indwelling power to live the life that He wants us to live. A life of purity, a life of holiness, a future that is not drugged down in the same gutters of the past. Grace relieves us of that and gives us that privilege of holiness. So I noticed that this matter of God's grace through Christ is determined as far as the feelings of the past are concerned, but it's determined as far as the future is concerned. But you know, I was also noticing in this text that God's grace is determined as far as our connections are concerned, or those that are a part of our lives. Could I say, God's grace determines your friends, because your friends will determine your life. But grace, amazing grace, isn't it wonderful that when it comes into your life, it never comes by itself? Because so many times I notice in the Word of God that grace will always come with a friend. And grace has a lot of friends. But I want to suggest to you, children, you can't have grace without grace's friends. Grace never travels alone. But it always brings some inspired, inseparable friends into your life. Now, there's some in this text, but my goodness, we could go through the Word of God and mention probably 20 or 25 that are connected to grace. I remember when my children were at home and my brother and his children were at home, that often we would call and I would say, Joe, I'm coming up to visit you. Well, he knew by that it wasn't just going to be me, but it was everybody that was with me, my wife and children. And, of course, he has a wife, and had six children. So when he called and said, Dana, I'm coming down, I knew it was time to get some groceries together, because I wasn't just getting him, I was getting the wife and all them young. So you had to make room. You had to make sure everything. Of course, the wife took care of that, thankfully. As she does several things. But I'm noticing here that when grace comes in, there are some wonderful fellowship with some other characteristics of God that is inseparable from the grace that comes to us. He not only brings grace into this man's life, but man, there rushes like a river many other attributes and personalities of God just flood in all of a sudden. Aren't you glad for those other things that you found? You didn't know it at the time. You just thought you got saved by grace. For by grace are ye saved. But you didn't realize that grace don't travel alone. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's evident in the text here that, first of all, if you're going to get grace, you're going to have to get the Son. The Son comes with grace. You don't have room for the Son, you don't have room for grace. Because they're one and the same. Grace comes through the Son. But not only do you get the son, if you'll notice down here in verse number 17, but Jesus answered and said unto him, my father worketh hitherto and I work. You not only get the son, but you get the sovereign. You get the father. That's how I got saved, but man, I didn't realize all I was getting. The son came in and the father came in. What a wonderful day when the son introduced you to the father. You found out you wasn't an orphan. But then more than that, the scripture again tells us that Jesus told him in verse number 8, take up thy bed and walk. And of course, he emphasizes that again. When he repeats it, he said to me, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately he arose and he walked. I thought again about that verse, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we what have? Fellowship one with another. You see, in the spirit world, I mean, you can't see it and I can't see it as far as the human eye is concerned, but in the spirit, the Bible talks about the spirit of grace. Grace is a spirit. That's why all the works of God are eternal, is because they're spiritual works, and once they're done, they don't ever cease to be. They are a vibrant part of your life until you get to heaven, never ceasing to be that. I've thought about that much. When that love of God is shed abroad in your heart, I'm telling you, that's an eternal work. That's a spirit that'll never leave that heart. When the Spirit of grace comes in, there'll always be that gracious Spirit there because it's an eternal work. When repentance takes place in your heart, you will never stop repenting because it is a Spirit. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, let somebody stand and testify tonight, and the first thing they'll tell you is how rotten they were, and they got right with God. They just got a spirit of repentance in them. Right. Got a spirit of... That prodigal son come home, and if you could have went and interviewed him 10 years later, he'd have leaned over on the post where he was a hoe, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, let me tell you, I was in a far country. I was sinned against Daddy in heaven, and I'm so sorry about it. I was a sorry mess. Well, but I come home. You never get over that. And if God ever comes and finds you in poverty, you'll never cease to be poor in spirit. It's a spirit work. And grace does that spirit work in the life of this man. And so what happens is, and I'm sure it happened to him, because it happened to me. Right. Dead in trespasses and sin one day, 14-year-old boy, and Jesus said, rise up and walk. Now, nobody else could tell it. They didn't know that I was walking. But I'm going to tell you, there was a different type of walk. There was a spiritual walk that took effect in my life. I started down that alley that day, and I never took a spiritual step in my life. Didn't even know what it was. And I never knowed anybody that did. Because I couldn't recognize it in them. But thank God that day he said, rise and walk. From that point on, all the way to the rest of the house, I started my steps spiritually. Isn't that something? Hadn't been walking 5 minutes when I got to the house. But honey, I knew there was something else a-walking in me. But when I got to the house, and then the next Sunday when I got to the church, stand up, Brother Lester. I tell you what I did the last Sunday I'd been to that church. It didn't look like it. It was a bunch of people. I'd walked in there, they'd walked in there, they walked out, they walked out, but it was all a physical matter. But I'm going to tell you, on that next Sunday morning, I walked in there with a different walk. And when I did, I got to bumping into some other folks that was walking too. And boy, we got to fellowshipping about our walk. And we walked and walked and walked. And from that day to this, I've been bumping into folks that walk in a spiritual sense. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Walking! Started walking, and then I started running into folks that walk. And then we just kept on walking. And I go across the country running into folks that just want to walk with me. And we walk in fellowship. Why? Because he said to you the same thing he said to me. And I don't even have to ask you. Well, somewhere in your life, I notice in your walk, he must have said, get up and walk. Boy, it thrills my heart to bump into somebody and say, he told you to walk too, didn't he? And he got you up, didn't he? He got y'all up, didn't he? Ooh, ain't it good? Do you remember that day when he said, get up? And I've been getting up and I've been walking and I just can't help but walk and I just keep on walking and bumping into folks that's walking. Because here's what I want to say to you. He not only brought the Son and the Sovereign, the Father in your life, he introduced you to the saints. Grace introduced me to the saints, which has made the difference in my life for 44 years and makes the... I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that the Lord didn't show him a little grace and then leave him there in that place, that all he had to do was hang around folks that couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't see, and didn't know anything about the grace of God. I'm sure he was burdened over those folks. But I'm glad he put him with people that... See, he gave you sight, didn't he? I can tell he did. He worked with your ears, didn't he? You're hearing. I tell you, you're hearing. I like to get up and preach to people. I can say, uh-oh, he's been talking to them. I can tell they're listening. Oh, I can see their eyes. They're seeing. They're walking. Oh, because an eternal word brought us together as saints. You see, grace is so intertwined, it'll determine your past, it'll determine your present, and it'll determine your future. Grace is there to work things out. Well, as a matter of fact, if you'll read the Word of God, you want to know who the friends of grace are? You might ought to know this, because if you're here tonight and you want grace and you want to be saved, you got to make room, because the friends are coming. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Acts 4:33 talks about grace and power. Power of the Spirit. Ephesians 2:8-9, and then all through the Bible, talks about grace and faith. 1 Corinthians 1:3 talks about grace and peace. Romans 1:5, think about this good buddy of grace. Grace and obedience. That's a good buddy. He said, I'm moving in, but I've got my buddy with me, obedience. He's coming in. 2 Corinthians 13:4, grace and love. Ephesians 1:16, grace and praise. He brought them in, they're all over the house. You never know which one's going to break loose. Somebody back in the bedroom said, whoa! Somebody said, who's that? I hadn't heard him before. What's praise? Where did he come from? Well, grace came in and he brought him with him. Huh? Romans 5:17, grace and righteousness. 1 Timothy 1:2, grace and mercy. Acts 20:24, grace and the word. And then 1 Corinthians 15:10, and this will throw you for a curve, grace and works. Huh? Grace and works. I had some friends coming in. He said, "Why do I want to introduce you to my friends here?" Said, "While I'm moving in, said, I want you to know I got some friends with me. I got truth coming in." I said, "Well, what is that? What is that? I didn't know you have one of those in your house. Is that a Bible?" Oh, I just got saved by grace, and grace brought that in.
Yeah.
You say you're going to do what for God? Don't that make sense? That sounds like faith. Where'd that come from? Well, I got saved, and grace brought it in. Now, I know we can't determine, you know, all points and times and stuff, but I'm just preaching. Peace. So how come you resting so good lately? Oh, grace came in, brought some peace with him, and I don't know, it just seemed like I'm having a good time. Well, how come you always hugging on me in tears? And so, well, where'd that come from? Oh, grace brought it in, come in, and he brought love with him, and I don't know. But he said, "Now I'm moving in, and I brought in all these other fellows, but I got one more that's coming. He's coming. He's carrying the load. He'll be here in a minute." So who's that? That's works. Ah, you say, "Well, I didn't think grace and works had anything to do with each other." Oh, yeah, they do. They're good buddies. They're good buddies. Let me read what Paul said concerning himself in this matter. I'll get it. So he said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain." Notice this. "But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Amen. He said, who's that doing all that cleaning in there? I mean, my goodness, have you stepped in and said, "Oh, that's works." So what are works? Where'd works come from? Well, grace brought him in. Yeah. Isn't that something? I'm going to tell you something. Grace get in your heart, He'll give you something to do. But you won't do it to earn anything. You'll just be so thankful you can't help it. I used Ernest T as the illustration the other night. He could tell it better than me, but I'm going to. But he said when he first got saved, I don't know, first couple of weeks he went into church and he said he noticed the walls. Hadn't been said, was it first service, second service, something like that, somewhere around there? And he went in and he said, "I got to noticing the walls is all scarred up. Need to be painted." He said, "I hunted the preacher down." He said, "I just got my income tax check." And said, "I hunted the preacher down." He said, "You wouldn't mind if I just painted all this, would you?" Somebody said, "Well, what's that all about?" Well, grace come in. Son, grace knows how to work. Ooh, can grace work? Matter of fact, there ain't no other work that God's concerned about unless grace is doing it.
Right.
He won't accept it. But boy, grace can get in there and just start to work, and that thing will just come together, and you'll just be amazed. You'll say, "Who did you say did that?" So, what is old John? He said, "Well, where in the world? I didn't even know he was." I said he got saved and works moved in and grace brought him and all them friends just moved right on in. Took over. You see, grace is going to determine your company. Grace is going to determine who hangs out with you. Grace is going to determine those who are such a part of your life because grace is going to determine your future. It is going to settle your present and it's going to cure the past. How did John Newton say it? Through many toils and snares have already come. It's grace that did what? And grace? Grace will get in there and just take care of all that. Well, no, just leave that alone. Listen to me. Obedience. Come here. He's telling him what to do. Obedience. And just come up and say, here, by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you what to do. You get some bitterness in your heart, and grace will say, love, come here. Need to work on them here a little bit about love. And then you get to feeling like that you ain't got no hope, and he'll say, faith, come in here. See, I'm in a little trouble believing God, but work on him there a little bit. Then you get to where you don't want to do nothing, and say, works, come in here. Get him going. All of that coming out of the manifold grace of God. Hey, praise. Praise. Come in here. He's a little sulky. I don't think he's thankful as he needs to be. Sort of work on him there a little bit. And praise will get in there. And then you'll start. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. See, he didn't just take care of this man's body. He settled his past, his present, his future by. Let's stand by our heads.